As I prayed through these readings this past week, the study theme began to emerge of the soul. And I want to talk and to meditate with you today upon not only the existence of the soul, but what exactly it does and why we should actually start to invest in this relationship. Now, it may sound strange to talk about investing in the relationship of our soul, but we as moderns, especially in America, we spend a lot of investment into the physical parts of us. We're very concerned about the news mentions of what sort of diet is going to be best, what sort of supplement we can take to make us feel better, how many hours of sleep we need, if we should or shouldn't drink caffeine this year, or if we should or shouldn't have a glass of wine every night. All these sorts of things that medicine continues to push to say, here's how to be the best version of yourself physically. Our ears are always kind of tuned up to listen to what's going on because we want to live good and healthy lives. But one of the things that's so fascinating about us human beings is we're not just bodies, but we have this incredible gift of an eternal soul within us. In fact, as God created us in his image and likeness, this is part of the power of the image and likeness of God. That part of us, that spark of immortality, of which knows no end. As St. Paul is speaking about in our second reading today, he's talking about the reality that the outer self is wasting away, and yet the inner self is being renewed day by day. Now, for me personally, as a priest, when I'm evangelizing with people and speaking about what's called apologetics or in defense of your faith, I have found the argument of a soul to be one of actually the most powerful arguments for God's existence. And here's why. All of us at some point in our life have had an experience of our souls. A moment where we feel like we are called to more, or like we can do something, or like we're completely out of energy, but suddenly we get this inner strength that just pushes us on. We have our imagination, our hopes, our dreams. We have sometimes a sixth sense where we just know something. All of us at one point have engaged this faculty of our soul. And if we have a soul, it therefore means that there is a God who is orchestrating this spiritual world around us. There is many people who will say that I don't believe that God exists, but there's even fewer who will say, I don't believe that I have a soul. As St. Paul is also teaching in the second letter to the Corinthians, he says, we look not to what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, our vision kind of got distorted as we heard in the first reading from the fall. Because as it was meant to be, body and soul were to be in a great harmony, a sort of kind of bicycle that we would ride and we could go twice the distance. If you've ever ridden on a bike with different gear shifts and you just keep on the lowest gear and you just ride on that lowest gear, you're pedaling like crazy and you're not really going anywhere. But if you ratchet it up to higher gears, you can just fly. The same thing is true in regards to our body and soul when they're yoked together and working in tandem. It's amazing the things that we can actually accomplish. But since the fall, there's been a division. And we see that instinct of man, which was to once walk with God, is now to hide from God. Now, this should actually make our hearts sad. Because what it says is that our instincts are now off. What was once to always be available to God is now turned in on self and trying to hide. This is why our Lord in the gospel speaks about a house that is divided against itself will not stand. Now, hopefully you've had this experience as you've engaged the second part of who you are, your soul. Because when our bodies and souls are working in tandem, there's certain levity and freedom that we have. If you've had a good prayer experience, you walk outside and it's like, I can do just about anything. Because we're feeling that union that is supposed to happen within the soul. St. Teresa of Avila in the 1500s wrote a profound book called The Interior Castle. And in it, she's teaching her religious sisters about how to make this interaction with the soul. And she says the soul actually has seven mansions within it. And you can go deeper and deeper and deeper into the soul. And in the center of your soul is a throne. And on that throne, Christ is seated, waiting for you to come and sit with him. But she says, and she laments in this book, so many people only engage that first courtyard of the senses. They don't actually even go any farther into the soul because they don't know the mysteries that await it. They're so used to spending time on the external that they have forgot that there is an entire world on the inside of us. The soul has power within it. And if you've ever walked with someone who is passing from this world to the next, you've probably experienced some of the power of the soul, where someone who is ready to pass will hold on and wait until that last person walks into the room and then they give up the ghost. Or, as so interestingly happens sometimes, is the family can be waiting vigil and staying watch, and they just want to be with the person when they pass. And then when they take a 5-minute coffee break, the soul passes. It's so incredible the power that the soul has to even let go or to stay within the body. But once again, referring to this reality of passing from this world to the next, if you've ever been with someone as they have passed, it is a fascinating thing that happens. So holy, so beautiful. Because what we realize is someone is there. We're with them, we're with them. And suddenly, they breathe their last and they're gone. And no one in that room says the person is still there, even though their physical body is there. Their soul has passed on. And as the family is around the deceased one and they're in their grief they're realizing that the soul has now left the body and gone to that place that St. Paul speaks about, the eternal dwelling. Not made with human hands, but meant to dwell with God for all eternity. Indeed, our humanity, our own physical weakness, it does break down. But God has given this internal spark within us, and it can grow and it can shrink based upon how we engage this reality. So today, my brothers and sisters, as we engage this worship of Mass, let us engage this soul work, the second part of our humanity, to actually grow in devotion of what God has given and to bring that unity back so that we will walk with our God rather than hide the great gifts that he has given.